Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in our Gospel, Mark chapter 1. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. Amen. Sometimes silence is the best way to get someone's attention. It had been more than 400 years since God had spoken to his people through his prophets. So after 400 years, perhaps now the people were ready to listen to God's messengers again. You see, word was spreading that there was a man out in the desert on the east side of the Jordan who might just be that. He wore the prophet's garb, clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt, just like Elijah and others had. He ate the food of a Nazirite, avoiding meat and wine. And he spoke with the authority of God himself, just as the prophets of old. This man named John was so different than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. But this wasn't just a freak show that drew large crowds out into the desert. It was the power of his message. You see, John transformed hearts because he first cut with God's law, and then he healed with the gospel. Unlike those Pharisees and teachers of the law who appealed to themselves as examples of works and righteousness, John appealed to the one greater than himself. And that was the message that the people needed to hear. And that was the message that would prepare the way for Jesus. Friends, as we continue to make our preparations for Christmas this morning, we also need to listen to the messengers. Let's listen to what John has to say to us. And let's pray again. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your Son. Stir up our hearts as we listen to the messengers. Mark writes, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way for you. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Think about what happens when a famous person comes into Madison, say someone like the president. All sorts of preparations are made. Decorations are hung. The streets are cleared of any obstacles. Security is heightened to make sure that everything goes just the way that it's planned, that there's no problems that happen when the president visits. Well, the same was true in Bible times. When a king would be coming through an area, a messenger would be sent ahead to prepare the way, to make sure that the people were ready. And if the roads needed to be repaired, that messenger would make sure that the roads were fixed so that the king could travel through safely. God uses that very familiar picture to describe what he was going to do to prepare the way for his Son. He would send a messenger ahead, not to fix the roads, but to fix the hearts of the people to receive their coming king. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John appeared by God's design. John appeared by God's promise in fulfillment to those promises. John appeared for one purpose, to prepare the hearts of the people. And how did John prepare them? By preaching a message of repentance, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, "One more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Just let that section of God's word sink in for a minute. John was sent from God. He was a prophet. He dressed like a prophet. He ate like a prophet. He spoke like a prophet. In the fulfillment of prophecy, John spent the majority of his time out in the wilderness, out in the desert. And his message was one of repentance and forgiveness. He pointed ahead to a greater prophet who was yet to come, one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Those are the details that Mark gives us. But isn't there a nagging question just begging to be asked? Who in the world is going to go out into the desert to listen to a crazy preacher talk about their sins? I mean, isn't that what we have here? It's been over 400 years since anyone looked or acted or talked like John. It's almost like a circus sideshow. Let's go out into the desert and see the freak show. I mean, really, come on. Who really wants to go and listen to someone tell them that they are a sinner? Who is going to want to spend time contemplating how miserably they have failed in everything that God has told them to do? Who wants to think about all of the times, just in the last week, that they've messed up, that they've failed? I mean, it's one thing if the guy came and talked to you, but it's a whole other thing to go and seek this out. No one in their right mind is going to travel out into the desert to do this, right? John is going to be spending an awful lot of time talking to himself, right? Right? The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem. Now, Mark is using hyperbole here. It's much like the way that we would talk when there's a big event in Madison and we might say the whole city turned out. But we get the point, right? Thousands of people went out into the desert to hear John preach. Thousands of people willingly traveled by foot into the desert to listen to John preach about their sins. How did this happen? How did thousands of people go and confess their sins and their faith in God and were baptized? I think you know, don't you? It wasn't because they all of a sudden got an urge to take a day trip out into the desert. It wasn't because they needed the exercise and just happened to come across John. These thousands of people went out into the wilderness to listen to John preach because of the power of God's word. That's the only explanation. They went out because the words that John was preaching were God's words, and they're powerful, and they have the power to change hearts, and they have the power to change people's lives. They have the power to create faith in the one that was greater than John. The one whose John was preparing his way. Friends, you and I are an awful lot like these thousands who made their way into the desert. I know most of you don't travel here by foot. Most of you don't go out into the desert to hear someone preach. And no, I'm not dressed like John. But think about it. Think about what people must think about you. Who in their right mind is going to get up early on a Sunday morning, the only day of the week that's reserved for sleeping in and relaxing and getting all that stuff around the house done, and they're going to go and drive to a church and listen to a guy dressed in a funny robe with a colorful scarf talk to them about their sins? Who in their right mind wants to spend time contemplating how they failed God miserably in all that he's asked them to do? Who really wants to spend time thinking about, just in the last week, how often they have messed up and they have failed? I mean, it's one thing if the guy comes and talks to you. But who's going to seek that out? No one in their right mind is going to do this, right? And yet here you are. Why? Felt the need for an early morning Sunday drive? Just happened to be out this morning and you saw that big building over there and wondered what was going on? No. It's because of God's word. It's because God's word is powerful. That's why you're here. You're here because the Holy Spirit has created faith in your hearts through the power of that word. You're here because you realize that you need to prepare your hearts. And you know that the best way to do that is to listen to God's messengers. You're here because your sins bother you. And you're sorry for them. You're ashamed of the thoughts that you've had, the things that you've looked at. You're ashamed of how you've treated others. You're ashamed of how so many things have pushed God out of first place in your life. But you're here because you know that God loves you. You know that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to earth as that little baby so that he could live for you. And you know that Jesus never once had sinful thoughts, never once treated others poorly, never once let anything become more important than God. And you know that Jesus offered up that perfect life as the sacrifice for your sins. And that means that the message that you come to hear is not primarily a message about your sins, but rather a conversation about how those sins are forgiven. And you know that when you repent of your sins, you're not simply sorry for them, but you trust that Jesus has forgiven them. And that's why you faithfully come and sit here each and every week and listen to a guy in a funny robe with a colorful scarf talk to you about your sins. Because that's not the only thing he talks about. No, each and every week in our hymns, in our lessons, in our sermons, we point to the one who is far greater, whose sandals we are not worthy to stoop down and untie. The one who works through his word to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each and every week we point to Jesus. Friends, take advantage during this busy season of preparations. Take advantage of the opportunity to listen. Get yourself in the true Christmas spirit by listening to God's messengers. Prepare your heart for Jesus by hearing the sacred story of God's love again. Look into your lives and please recognize your sins. Be sorrowful over them. But don't let those sins lead you to despair. Because God sent his son Jesus to pay for those sins, to wipe them clean, to win forgiveness for those sins. Trust in that forgiveness. And then, by the power and joy that only God's forgiveness can bring, let the love of God shine forth in your lives. Tell people how you can be so joyful, even in the midst of sorrow. Make time every week to listen to God's messengers and tell people why you do that. Invite them to come with you. Pray that our neighborhood, the communities that which in which we live, might be moved by God's word to go out and hear the messengers. Just think of what an impact that Christmas preparation would have. May God give us the power to prepare our hearts to receive our coming King by listening to his messengers. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.